Belinda Audio and Audible Studios present The Rock, the DCI Ryan Mysteries, Book 18. Written by L.J. Ross and read by Jonathan Keeble.
This book contains some hard but important themes. It is therefore dedicated to all who have the bravery to question themselves and the world around them. To all the Ryans and Mackenzies out there, it is thanks to you that we strive for better. There is something in the human spirit that will survive and prevail. There is a tiny and brilliant light burning in the heart of man that will not go out, no matter how dark the world becomes. Leo Tolstoy. Chapter 1. Saturday the 13th of February, the North Sea, 0317 hours. Mick Donnelly could think of better ways to spend his time. After a plate of steak and chips down at Billy's Chop House, he might have lined up a couple of pretty lasses and spent a few pleasurable hours letting them tend to his every need. For a price, of course. Nothing in this world came for free. Then, after a suitable interval, he might have treated himself to a few beers and a few lines of coke with the lads, although he was trying to cut back on the snow after that last nosebleed. Weakness wasn't a good look in his line of work, and it could give people the wrong impression. They might start to think, and they weren't getting paid to think. That was his job. Fixer, courier, postman. Whatever they wanted to call him, so long as they paid him half up front and half on delivery. The fishing vessel lurched ominously to one side as another wave crashed against its bow, and Mick's hands gripped the boat's wheel tightly as he fought to regain control. His square, weather-beaten jaw was set into hard lines as he steered the boat resolutely through treacherous North Sea waters, determined to reach the drop-off point before sunrise.
Mick!
The cabin door flew open to reveal a young man of 20 or so, his shaven head slick with water which ran in rivulets down his pasty skin, dripping into eyes that were wild with fear.
Mick!
Shut the bloody door!
He roared, over the sound of the wind and sea which howled like a banshee around their heads.
Why aren't you looking after the cargo?
Mick demanded. The man they called Noddy shoved the door closed, then shivered and dripped his way into the small cabin. Outside, there was a fathomless expanse of ice-cold water, from which he would never survive if anything was to happen while they completed the last leg of their journey, and the enormity of it all weighed heavily on his skinny, pimpled shoulders.
"Well? Away, man! Spit it out!"
Mick narrowed his eyes against the torrent, watching all the time for the first tiny lights that would signal they were drawing near to land.
"That's not good,"
Noddy said, shifting from one foot to the other, feeling his stomach roll as the boat tipped back and forth.
"Gaz says we're taking on too much water!"
Mick spun around at that.
"What? What the bloody hell do you mean? How much water?"
I don't know, but it's a lot. Gaz is working the pump, but he can't shift it fast enough."
Mick turned back to the wheel, thinking fast. If the boat was taking on that much water, it wouldn't last much longer in a storm like this one, especially without the benefit of the emergency life-saving facilities most vessels came equipped with, or the support of Her Majesty's Coast Guard. By his calculation, they were still a good hour away from the port of Tyne, if they made it that far.
"What'll I tell Gaz?"
"Shut your gob and let me think,"
Mick growled. Noddy hugged himself and stared out of the old cracked windows. He didn't know which was worse, seeing the terrifying vastness of the dark ocean or merely imagining it from below deck, surrounded by the crashing of the waves from all sides and the putrid stench of their cargo.
"Can't we use the radio?"
he asked.
"Don't be bloody daft,"
Mick snapped, and then swore volubly.
"Just bugger off back to the hold and stay there."
Noddy knew better than to question an order, and hurried off, skidding and swaying as he made for the cargo hold, head bent against the Arctic wind. Left alone again, Mick swiped a hand over his face, amazed to find he was sweating despite the frigid temperature.
"Come on,"
he muttered to himself.
"Think, man! Think!"